Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 436, Bread of Life. Pastor Sir Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, September 7th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah. How is everyone today? Blessed and highly favored. That's my favorite answer. Praise God. Wonderful woman of God taught me to answer that way years ago. And no matter how you're doing, you can respond, I'm blessed and highly favored. Because maybe you're not feeling that, but you'll turn yourself around when you hear yourself say that. Praise God. Okay, let's preach the gospel today. How about it? Praise God. You know, we live in such a broken world. It's not difficult to see that when we look around us, right? At your workplace, the state of families, just the state of our nation, the nations, excuse me, in general. There's so much out there that can steal our attention, that fights for our affection, for our heart's affection. There's so much out there that can deceive us, that can entice us, that can attract us, like, ooh, that thing, what's the phrase I'm thinking of? Everything that glitters ain't gold, you know? Like, you see something gold and shiny and ooh, you know, and that takes you away from what's truly important. I know there's people in here that are waving their hands in the back that really like bling bling and stuff. Bling bling's okay if you love Jesus first and Jesus comes before the bling bling, you know? So, you know, we can develop unhealthy affection and attention, and we can place our hearts attention, I guess I'll say it that way, onto something that's not Jesus, that's not him, that's not what he died for us to give us this abundant life. And we can get off track. And so, you know, here's some rhetorical questions for you to think about. What do you do when you're struggling? What do you do to feel better? What do you do when you... I don't know, when you're upset? How do you regain peace? How do you get satisfied emotionally, mentally, whatever? What or who is your refuge? Before you knew Jesus, maybe it was something, you know, ungodly. Maybe it was an addiction. Maybe it was a vice. Maybe it was gambling. Maybe it was cheating, stealing, you know, an adulterous relationship, whatever. We can talk about those things, but most of us now, we are in Christ, right? Now that we're in Christ, it may be something that's not bad in of itself. Food, work, family, relationships, phone, social media, right? In of itself, those things aren't bad. But if we are giving our heart's attention to those things, if we are running and refuging ourselves in those things to make ourselves feel better, and we're neglecting, you know, our relationship with Jesus, and we're not going to him to be our refuge, then that's a problem, right? What do we soothe ourselves with? And anything in whichever category, before Christ or now, if we're soothing ourselves on anything that's not Jesus, or finding comfort in that thing that's not Jesus, then that is sin, right? That's sin, because he says, come to me. He says, come and drink. Isaiah, let's look at Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Is anyone thirsty? Like, are you dry? Are you getting crusty? Are you getting hardened? Are you going through a struggle that makes you feel that way? He says, come and drink, even if you have no money. Come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Well, that's good. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. So we're going to talk about some food today. Not donuts, not tacos, not filet mignon, not chocolate, whatever your thing is, French fries, I don't know, making you hungry. But the message title today is the bread of life, because he is our sustenance. It's Jesus. If you are hungry, if you are thirsty, like it says, come to me. Why are you spending your money, your energy, your time on stuff that's not filling you up, that's not satisfying? We think it is, and for a moment it is, and we refuge ourselves in those things, and then we realize it just falls flat. And the maybe ache in your heart or the emptiness or the struggle that you're having, it's still there. Oh no, it's still there. And so in order to be strong spiritually, it's essential that we feast every day, like our daily bread, on what God has provided for us. And God has provided Jesus! He's provided Jesus for us. He is the bread of life. Yes.
Amen.
He is the bread of life. So we can leave behind what the world offers. Excuse me. Leave behind what the world offers and run to Jesus, the bread of life. Get satisfied in him. We can, in other words, we can feed our spirit. You know, just as your physical body needs food to get strength, to get nourishment, and we receive that strength when we eat food, and then we become, you know, stronger, we become built up. Not if you're just depending on what you're eating, you know. Ho, ho, Debbie, what's it? Little Debbie, ho ho cupcakes. Okay, that's what I was thinking of. If you have a diet, if your diet consists of just that, then I don't know how built up and strong you're going to be, but you're going to be sweet and sugary. But just as we gain strength, gain nourishment from food, our human spirit receives strength in different ways. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And the Lord just, in preparing this, had me focus on, we're just going to camp out in two ways. There's other ways that we can build our spirits up, that we can be strong, but we're just going to really focus on two main things. And you may feel like, this is so basic. Yeah, it's basic, because Jesus is basic, and he is there. He's foundational for our lives. Like, we can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but how? What are you satisfying yourself with? What are you running to? What are you refuging yourself on? The first thing, the two ways, main things that ways we can feed our spirit. Number one, Jesus himself. This is so simple, but just Jesus himself. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Spending time with Jesus, the bread of life, the one who will satisfy you and nourish you, the one who will never allow you to go thirsty or dry when you are refuging and spending time with him. He is the one. You will be built up when you spend time with him, in his presence, when you feast on who he is, all of his goodness. Whoever you need Jesus to be for you in a particular moment or a particular day, ask him, hey, Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. That's what the word says. I need your peace today. I need you to manifest your peace to me today. Or you know what? I'm feeling a little glum. I'm feeling a little, you know, like inspired by Eeyore. This Eeyore thing has to go. Like, I need your joy today. You are joy. Bring, I want to commune with with you, the person of Jesus, who is full of joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And he will manifest that to you if you open your heart and you desire that, or whatever you're needing from him. All right. We're going to go to the book of John, and we're going to look at right after Jesus did the miracle of feeding the 5,000. The next day, the crowd was like, where's this Jesus? Where's this one who multiplied the bread? Like, we're hungry again now, and we want to find him. And so they kind of tracked him down. Where is he? He's in the boat. He's with the disciples. Now he's not, and the disciples aren't with him. And so they tracked him down, and on the other side of the lake, they found him, and they asked him. So we're picking up this John 6, John 6:25. So they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, where did you get, or when did you get here? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. So Jesus, I love how he points out, he just points stuff out to people. You know, he just says it like it, like, you're seeking me because I fed your belly yesterday. You're not really seeking me for who I am, for, you know, you just want what I can give you. You just want the miraculous things. But like, do you really believe in me? Do you really know who I am? And so he points out the wrong motive in seeking for him. And in, let's look at verse 27. He tells him, don't be so concerned about perishable things. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. It would be something like, why would you not, in Aramaic, verse 27, it would read something like this. Why would you not seek the food that fastens you to eternal life? Like, I'm here. He knew who he was, and he's going to say it here. We're going to go through this account a little bit more in depth. But he's saying, why wouldn't you seek really who I am, the food that fastens you to eternal life? You're concerned about perishable things, the bread, the fish that you had yesterday, and that's why you came to seek me. But like he's saying, I can give you something more. Like I'm more than that. And I want to be, he's saying to us today, I want to be more than just food, right? I want to be more than just the Savior that you know that you have eternal life. Yes, that's important. That you know where you're going when you leave here. But is he your sustenance today? Is he your sustenance when you have a hard time? Is he the thing, the food that fastens you to eternal life? It's him. So he's exhorting them to spend their effort, their energy in deeper things. Because, you know, then bread, because that can spoil, that can grow mold. Who wants moldy bread? No one, right? Spiritual food that leads to eternal life. And so, and then he ends with, in this section, telling them that God the Father gave Jesus his approval. Like, I'm approved. I have the seal of approval of God the Father. And that God destined Jesus for the purpose of providing this eternal salvation that they needed. And he knew that they needed. So he's telling them, God has appointed me for this. God has approved, sealed me for this purpose. So, like people, we, the people here that we see in this account, we too sometimes get focused on the wrong things, right? Is it just me? I don't think I'm alone. Physical things that fade away, even the miracles, even the blessings that come from his hand. Like, we just want the gifts, What about the giver? What about him, who he is? Seeking out who he is, investing in our relationship with him. Yeah. The food that fastens you to eternal life. It's him. It's the person of Jesus, right? We sing stuff. We wear stuff. We say, Jesus loves me. This I know. Yeah, he really loves me when I have a struggle. I need to know that. I need to refuge myself in that truth and not just drive with a bumper sticker that says that. But like, I need to walk in that. I need to live that, that he is my truth. He is my life. He is the bread that sustains me. So we're going to keep going on here in this account. John 6:28 is where we stopped. John 6:28. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Like, you have one task. Believe in me, people. But just believe in me, the one that God has sent. It's me. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. Well, what about yesterday, guys? Like, are you not getting it here? What can you do? They're saying, like, show us more. We want more. After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. That's a promise we have. I will never reject them, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, and not to do my own will. Verse 39, and this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all of those he has given to me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Well, wow. Amen to that, Jesus. They benefited from the miracle, right, that he did the day before, and they still wanted more, but they benefited from it, but they failed to see who was behind it. They failed to see that he was the sign pointing them to believe in Jesus, and they asked for more. Like, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't sufficient. They had been concerned about the wrong thing, about the bread, about food, about power, right? And Jesus said, belief in him is the key. It's the key that opens the door, believing in him. So verse 32, so Jesus explained that God the Father was offering to the people true bread from heaven. He's saying, God offers you this by sending Jesus. Like, it's me, guys. I'm the one that God has sent to be this true bread from heaven who gives life to the world. It doesn't perish like manna. It doesn't spoil like that. But I'm eternal, he's saying. Whoops, sorry. They failed to see Jesus himself was the bread of life. So then verse 34 and 35, we're just unpacking this a little bit here. The people said that they want that true, like, okay, give us that true bread from heaven. We want that. Did they really get it? I don't think they really got it, right? He's trying to get this through to them. And he replied, I am it. I am he. I'm the bread of life. It's me. Verse 35, I'm just going to read it again. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That is the true gospel right there. That God sent Jesus to die for us, and he is the true bread from heaven, sent to sustain us, to nourish us, to feed us, to strengthen us. Everything we need is found in him. He is to be our source of life, our nourishment, our satisfaction here, now, today, so I can walk in daily victory, not just the promise by and by when I get to heaven, but here, now. And I think so many of Christians, and I suppose I could be in this category at some point, or was at some point in my life, we just lose sight of that. It's like, oh yeah, Jesus, it's one thing I did. Like, I graduated from college, you know, how many ever years ago. I have that title. Like, I have that eternal life promise that I'm going to heaven. But like, today is he my bread. Today is he what strengthens me. Today is he what I refuge in when I'm having a struggle or a doubt or a question or a midlife crisis or, you know, whatever. Whatever it is, right? And when you're good, is he with you? Are you rejoicing in him too? It's not just, you know, in the bad moments. Because Jesus is carrying out the Father's will, and he makes that clear to them. All who come to Jesus, and he says, I won't reject them, and they will always be with me, and he says, I will raise them up on the last day. So, you know, sometimes during difficult moments, I don't think I'm alone in this, when we're challenged, when we're tempted to sin, and we don't truly and passionately seek Jesus. We run to all these other things, this food for eternal life, and we forsake the path of life that Jesus, that he is for us, that he is for us every day, that he's available to us. That is the gospel. And we settle for less than in that moment. A type of food, we settle for something that, a type of food, if you will spoil, that won't really satisfy us. It's just a temporary fix. And when the fix wears off, then what? Right? And so I go back to that question, like the paraphrase of the Aramaic, why would you not seek the food that fastens you to eternal life? That's a good question. I was confronted with that this week, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what happened. But all right, let's go on. I'm going to leave you hanging right there. Then the Jews began to grumble after this when he was saying that he came down from heaven, because, of course, they had a problem with that. Like, who is he? Who does he think he is? And they're grumbling about this, and it carries on the account here. We're in John 6. Verses 41 and 42. And then we're going to, Jesus responds that God the Father draws people to himself, and that he and the Father are one, that they're in unity about this. So we're going to pick up John 6, verse 47. He's reiterating this because he can probably see that they're not getting it. Okay, so he's repeating this. He says, I tell you the truth. You know, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you better listen. I hope they were somehow getting this. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. And then it carries on, and I'm not doing the communion message, so I won't go into that, but he talks about how his body is offered for that he's the bread of life, okay? And that's what we are going to celebrate and remember, that what he did, his broken body for us. But he's saying here that Jesus is heaven's bread. It might feel like a little redundant here, but he satisfies the hunger that we all have, that we've all been created, that hunger for God, that hole in our hearts that only can be satisfied with him. And not just eternally is he the bread of life, but like I said, right here, right now, in my struggle, in my day-to-day grind, in my humanity, in my flesh wanting to do all these other things, he is the bread of life. So I had some struggles this week, and you know the phrase, the struggle is real. Because we live in a fleshly body, right? And I was having some struggles. And I think maybe for the first, I don't know, how whatever length of time, I was trying to reach out to Jesus, but it just like, it wasn't working. And my flesh was still like, rah, screaming and like, no, we're in control and all this and that. And what happened? A friend of mine, I think a week prior, had sent me this message, and I had some drive time, and I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this message. I start listening to this message, and this pastor, it was really awesome, starts just, he's sharing the gospel. And do you know what? I'm going to confess my thought. I'm like, why am I listening to this? Like, yeah, this is good. This is the gospel. Hello, this is the gospel. Like, that's what I needed. I needed Jesus in that moment. And then it was just like something like, thank God for the Holy Spirit, man. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm, you know, pretending that I was doing okay, but I wasn't. And then I'm like, well, I know this. I know the gospel message. Like, why am I listening to this? And I kept listening. And then it was just like, Jesus was just like confronting me also about preparing this message. How can you get up there and say that I'm the bread of life? Like, how, like, you guys don't know what I go through to get up and preach this stuff, because I get confronted like, yeah, you got to make it real. Like, I am real. I am Jesus. I was the one who died on the cross, this terrible death for you to have life in this moment. Like, I am your bread right here, right now, in your car for you. Don't ignore me anymore. Like, I am the one that you can refuge yourself in. And I was like, oh, and I reached out for him, like, in my heart. I'm driving, right? I'm in the car line to pick up my son from school. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm getting this. Like, he's here for me right now. Like, thank God for pastors that just preached the gospel. And he laid it out in such a way that was like, you know, who we are in Christ, our identity determines then our behavior, not the other way around. And so it was just so good. And just in my heart, I was like, yes, yes, I need something. I need Jesus. And like, I took that opportunity. I reached out for him. And then I started playing this song that came from 20 some years ago when I was saved. This second song that we sang in worship, Hungry, I Fall on My Knees, I Come to You. And that song just then the rest of the week was kind of on repeat, because it's just, God, you are the one that I need to refuge myself in any given moment. You are the bread of life. You be the one who sustains me. And let us never get tired of hearing the gospel message that he is with us. He lives inside of us. We don't have to run and refuge in other things. We don't have to pretend, you know, to be okay. We can just reach out to him and say, Jesus, I need you. You are here. You are my bread. You are the one that'll fill me up. You are the one that nourishes me. If I open my heart and I'm open to that in the moment, and if I'm humble and I come to him and say, I just need you right now. And it's so simple. And he does. And it, like, my whole day changed around, because the devil was trying to get me in this. I already had been in this. You know, we'll just do it like that. Sorry if you're on podcast. I'm waving my fingers wildly around in like a circle, like a torment, you know, like this windstorm of stuff. Bah, the devil is a liar. And you know what? That stuff still came at me, but it was so different then. It was like, no, I have my Jesus. I'm just going to, I don't know if I picture myself like, you know, chewing on a loaf of bread or something. It was just, I don't know, like, it was just totally different. No, I'm staying cool. I'm staying calm. I'm staying collected because he is with me. Amen. He is my bread. He is my sustenance. He is my strength. He is my all in all. He is what fills everything in every way. Ephesians 1, that very last little phrase of Ephesians 1. He fills all in all. He fills me. Does he fill you today? Let him fill you. I lost my place, but let him fill you. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34 says. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. I had some joy going on after that. Praise God. Was everything better and solved? No. But the way I walked, the way I carried myself, knowing that, hey, he is with me, he is for me, he is in me, he's going to give me a way out of this. And he did, because I decided I'm not going to lose my peace over this thing. I'm not going to give it away, because why? He died to give me abundant life, and I'm going to choose that right now, and I'm going to grab onto him right now, and it's going to be okay. And it was. Praise God. Praise God. We will always be filled when we reach out to Jesus. Amen. We will always be filled. Praise the Lord. Feast on the bread of life today by spending time with the Lord. Whatever that looks like for you, praying, listening in silence. That one's a little harder, right? Sometimes we just need to be quiet. We need to listen to what he's saying. Worshiping, reading his word. There's so many ways to just be in his presence and just ask him to come. So that reading his word, we're going to segue to the second thing, the second major, what was it? Had I said the way to feed our spirit? Like, Jesus himself is the way to feed our spirit, right? That was number one. He himself is the bread of life. The second one, the word of God is food to nourish us. That's right. How do you, here's some other rhetorical questions. How do you approach the word of God? Is it just a book on the shelf or on the coffee table collecting dust? Hopefully not. Or is it alive and active? Is it bread for your life? Is it nourishment for you? That's the question. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, when the Holy Spirit took him to the wilderness and he was in the desert, he fought back with the word. He fought back with the word. Let's look at Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. This was the first temptation that came from Satan. Matthew 4, verse 3. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Hallelujah. Yes, that's it right there. When Satan tried to suggest, right, that Jesus, instead of being a suffering Messiah, which is what God called him to be, right, to suffer and die for us to give us abundant life. Instead of being that, Satan tried to suggest to Jesus that he would be like the bread Messiah, like to just meet our physical needs, miraculously doing things to meet our needs. Then Jesus overcame that by stating the powerful truth of Scripture. He used that, the sword of the Spirit, to fight that and saying, no, man does not live on bread alone. He lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we can use the word to defeat temptations and lies that we deal with and we struggle. It matters what word. Get a word that relates to your struggle. Get a word that relates to your situation and fight with that. Amen. Because Scripture is alive and it's active. It's powerful. It'll nourish you. It'll nourish your entire being. Because food isn't what will maintain us strong spiritually. Sure, we're in a physical body. We need food, right? We have to take care of our physical body because that's part of who we are. But just maintaining the physical part of our body and just eating food, it isn't enough alone. It's not enough because we are spiritual beings. It's the word. It's the word that gives us life. And when I was thinking about this, I realized that, you know, where it's like, people do not live by bread alone. That's kind of, I see that more as like, we go out, we are on the, I guess, offensive to go out and seek for bread to fill our physical need. But every word that comes from the mouth of God, that's like me in a different position. That's me receiving from God. That's not me trying to make something happen anymore because God already made it happen through Jesus on the cross, right? Through the finished work of Jesus on the cross, I can be fed. I can just receive from him. I can yield to him, his presence, his word, and ask him to make it come alive to me, and I can receive from that, and I will be fed. My spirit will be fed on the food that is the word of God. It produces spiritual power in me when I feed, when I meditate on, chew on the word, and that spiritual power is called faith. It produces faith in me. It makes me stronger. You can't just eat one meal, right? And then feed on the memory of that meal for several weeks. And in that same way, you can't just read one scripture and just remember that and feed on that and continue it to expect that your spirit would be strong for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, maybe a powerful revelation is going to take you weeks or it's going to take you through your whole life. But you need to keep eating. You shouldn't stop eating. You need three meals a day for your physical body, right? Maybe some less, but okay. But your spirit needs to continually feed on the bread of life. Again and again. So let's do this. Let's do a little illustration. I didn't bring props today like I usually do, so we're going to do this. Close your eyes and see yourself, pretend that you are slicing a lemon. Now imagine you stick that lemon slice between your teeth. It's in your mouth, between your teeth. And when I say three, on the count of three, you're going to pretend that you're biting down on it so hard that the juice squirts into your mouth. Okay? One, two, three. You're going to pretend to bite or imagine yourself bite. Most likely, I see some funny faces. You have such a vivid memory of what that would be like, right? What a lemon would taste like, or if you bit on it, that your mouth is like puckering or, you know, you're watering. Yeah, your mouth is watering right now. Let me ask you this. Did you receive any nourishment from that memory? No. Remembering the word of God isn't enough. You must continually feed on it. You must continually get out of it what it says. Get it out. You must read it. You must meditate on it. Be like the cows that chew on their cud, you know, just chew it over and over. You must go to church, sister, I'm with you. You must go to church and hear the word preached. You can feed then on the word that's on deposit in your spirit. You can draw, and the Holy Spirit will draw on that word that's there, but you need to keep doing it. And your life will be, I'm discovering this, praise the Lord, your life will be more abundant and more energized, more healthy, more whatever, victorious, the more word that you eat. That's cool. This is like all you can eat buffet, guys. No calories, no engordation, okay, Spanish, English, like just feast on the word of God. Pull up to the banquet table and feast. Amen. Praise God. And once you taste what's really good, you're going to want more and more and more. Praise the Lord. You have to, you can't get continued results if you don't keep doing it and spending time with Him in prayer, opening the Word of God, allowing the Spirit to nourish you daily. So here's another question. Have you become dependent upon receiving God's spiritual food that comes from His Word? Have you become dependent? Like, you need that more than you need to scroll on social media when you first get up in the morning. Or you need that more than whatever other thing that you could run to. My family talks about, like, retail therapy, you know, like going out shopping to make yourself feel better. Forget the retail therapy, guys. Like, Jesus. Jesus. It's Jesus. It's His Word. You will get spiritual nourishment from it. John 6, 63 says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. In the very words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Praise God. That is a good verse. His words are spirit and they are life to us. They keep us alive. They keep us alive spiritually. So, we had an awesome healing masterclass lesson on Friday night. I didn't know that the lesson was going to coincide with what I had already planned to preach, but that's worked out a few times. Praise the Lord. So then I added to my notes from some of these things. So Barry Bennett was teaching on hearing from God, how to hear from God. And I thought it was so good. At the end, he talked about how to create an environment. So I'm going to share some of these points about how to create an environment to hear from God and get a revelation. And we're all different, and it can look different for each one. But something that I think is essential is desire. Are you desiring Him? Are you desiring Him more than a chocolate cake or whatever is your thing, right? Desire. Are you seeking Him? Are you wanting Him? Because God responds to that in a major way I've discovered in my life. When I go to Him with a desire, and I, like that day where it was just like, oh, the gospel was just presented to me. I'm like, okay, the desire just bust out of my heart that, yes, this is what I need. You are what I need. He responded, and it just, everything changed. It's desire. It's also like expectation, like I've said this before. I'm not leaving from here until I hear from you. And you might think, well, that's really demanding. Yeah, but He wants to meet with His children. He wants to fill us up. And if we go in just kind of humdrum, well, maybe I'll get something today. Maybe you won't. Me going in with faith and saying, and a little maybe feisty, saying, I'm not leaving here until I meet with you, Jesus, is like desire and expectation. And I'm coming to you, and I'm coming to you feisty because I need something from you, Jesus. He loves to feed His children. He loves to feed us. So desire prepares the ground. This is how to create an environment to hear from God. Desire it in your heart. Expect, right? Number, or second one, meditate. That's thinking over, reading one verse, one scripture, meditate on it. I will add in there praying in the Spirit over it. Read a word, pray, you know, read a word in English and pray in your spirit language. Read the next word, you know, back and forth, English and your heavenly language, and God will bring revelation to you. Meditate on verses, promises, biblical stories. Those are seeds that carry the life, the spirit and the life that we just were talking about in John 6. And they will be revealed to you over time. It could be 30 seconds time. It could be 3 weeks time, whatever. The time doesn't matter, right? But that seed carries life. The word is the imperishable seed of the word, right? Pray for spiritual understanding. This is another one. To create an environment to hear from God. Pray for spiritual understanding to come with the word. Ask Him, God, will you just come and show me? Can you just show me something from your word today? I want to hear your voice. And expect goes along with that as well. Expectation to hear from God. And the last thing, in due season, you will harvest the revelation that you seek, or the revelation that you need, that he knows that you need. In Galatians 6, 9, I didn't write this one down, but it says, in due time, if you do not give up, don't grow weary in doing good. You will reap a harvest if you don't give up. So keep pressing in, keep seeking, keep asking, feed on the word that he is. So I'm going to conclude. I'm going to read some other scriptures. And I just felt this message so strongly. There's so many verses on this, like being filled, being, get your fill. Like if you do a word study, satisfy, hungry, bread, all of these kinds of things. So I compiled a list. There's, I don't know, I printed a dozen or more of them back there. So you can take them. Some of the verses I spoke about today and some I didn't. So that's a freebie for you. So meditate on them and allow him to speak to you through them. So let the person of Jesus, let who he is and his presence be your daily bread. Let his presence satisfy you, and let the powerful word of God be your daily bread. Feast on the word. Have fun feasting on the word of God. Keep the force of faith replenished in you all the time by continually feasting on him. And remember John 6:35. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And here's a few of the other verses. Psalm 63:5, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. Psalm 103, verse 5, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107:9, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Psalm 146, verse 7, he gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. And I could go on and on. There's more on the list, and there's probably a lot more that I didn't even write down. And I'm going to share with you Psalm 16, which has been feeding me. This has been my bread this week. Psalm 16. It says, you can just close your eyes, just receive this. Receive from the word of God, from the bread of life. It says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. That's referring to like pagan rituals and like form of idolatry of giving blood sacrifice. So it says, I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. And that's the prophecy of Jesus. That's life. The opposite of decay. And then my favorite, verse 14, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So as you feast on his word, as you commune, fellowship with the bread of life, allow him to show you the path of life. He will. He will satisfy you. He will nourish you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are the bread of life, and that any of us, anyone that comes to you, we will never go hungry. We will never be thirsty when we're truly coming to you and submitting ourselves to you. God, you gave yourself, you gave your son, Jesus, for us to give us such an abundant life, not just the promise of eternal life, not just the day that we leave the earth here, but here today, you want to be our source of strength, our source of life. You want to be our sustenance. You want to be our everything. And God, we repent for turning to other things, for looking and refuging ourselves in other things that isn't you, that isn't your presence, or that isn't your word. God, we're sorry. We're sorry for running to, be busy, or just keep ourselves doing work, or to think we have to produce something, or running to relationships, or running to the retail therapy, shopping, or whatever, food, or whatever it is, just endlessly surfing on social media or the TV, God, because we're feeling empty. God, forgive us. And let us find you. Let us find the true gospel message that you came for us to fill us up, to strengthen us. And you are always available to us, God, with no side effects. We can't like eat too much of your presence or of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are our ever-present help, that you are our ever-present God, always available, always open for us, that we can come to you hungry and be filled. We can come to you hungry or maybe feeling empty or broken, and we can get restored by your word, by your presence. I thank you, God, for that. I thank you, God, that each one of us, God, this week, we will encounter the bread of life in a deeper way than maybe we have before, that we will approach your word with a hunger, with a desire, with an expectation, and come to you in prayer saying, God, I need you. And even if you don't really feel like you need him, things are okay and things are good. Just go hang out with him. Go thank him. Go just be his friend, because he wants to be with you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for special times of deepening intimacy for all of us this week, God. And that we can just find more and more that you are the best. You are the best refuge. You are the only one that really fills us up, that really can satisfy. So I bless my brothers and sisters and everyone under the sound of my voice right now. And I thank you for being our bread of life. And as we take communion today, God, that something deeper can happen in us as we reach out, really reach out to who you are, Jesus. And we're so grateful and we're so thankful that we have you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.